We open. And this is going to blow your fucking mind because I know this podcast is called Dangerous Times in Chillhaven High, but right now we're opening somewhere else. A little place down the road a spell. Name of Ordinary Falls. But that name is one of those ironic names because ordinary this place ain't. Namely, this place is chock-block full of skeletons. And most of those skeletons right now reside in a bar called the Dookie Hole. I don't remember if it's called the Dookie Hole or Dookie's Hole, actually.
Either one.
He couldn't decide.
We see from an exterior shot, the sun hanging low in the sky as nighttime encroaches. But the coming of night has put no damper on this mostly skeleton-based party popping off inside of the Dookie Hole. As we pass in through one of the dusty plate glass windows from the outside, we see skeletons still doing what skeletons do, namely being a human-shaped pile of bones, playing pool, playing darts, playing xylophone on their ribs.
Two of them are in an arm wrestling contest, and when one of them wins, the other one just explodes into a pile of bones.
A skeleton taking his head off and using it as a volleyball to play volleyball with his friend.
One skeleton using another skeleton as a nutcracker and just putting nuts in his mouth and then bashing him on the head so they crack open. And then the first skeleton eats those nuts, but he's a skeleton, so they just kind of fall through him onto the floor.
One little skeleton is playing hopscotch, and the numbers that he is hopscotching on are made out of bones, and he keeps hopping on those bones, and they keep making the numbers not look like numbers anymore, so he has to bend down on one foot and then fix it each time, but he's having a good old day.
Two skeletons reach across each other and pull each other's heads off, and then turn the skulls upside down and fill them full of beautiful frothy beer and cross their arms and start chugging out of each other's heads.
I was just thinking of like Labyrinth, and so that's why I was like, the most fucked up thing I can think about is if someone takes off their head, throws it around. I'm like that shit, like those
the beach ball party.
Yeah.
Fucked up thing I can think of. There's one skeleton in the middle of the room who takes off his own skull and starts juggling it, and then all the other skeletons start taking off their skulls and throwing it to them. And he's on a unicycle juggling just like 20 people's skulls.
Our camera continues its motion past all of that stuff that we said and settles now on a couple of familiar faces. We see seated at the bar, one, Penny White, one, Zeke Lynn, and one, Ron Fetus. Seated atop the bar is a skeleton a little bit different than the other ones, in that this one is just a skull with two skeletal feet on the bottom of it and two skeleton arms sticking out the side of said skull. This, of course, we all know and love, is one Dookie Boy RD. We find Dookie and Zeke in the midst of deep conversation.
Lazy bones, big bones, dance around in your bones.
So, like, if I brought you back to life, like, would it... would, like, the bones that you're missing come back, or would you just be, like a little guy with just, like, hands and feet sticking off out of you like you are now?
You know how to bring people back to life?
Sure, yeah, for the sake
really?
Of... For the sake of argument.
Well, for the sake of argument, I could say that I could become a beautiful bird and fly up into the sky, but...
Would that happen?
No, that's my point.
Oh.
We suddenly hear Penny clear her throat from across the room. She's been just pacing back and forth in front of the bar with her arms crossed.
Penny, your throat sounds kind of dry. Can
I
pour you another sassafras?
Thanks, Dookie. I can just get it myself if that's cool.
He's got the best sassafras, Penny. I've never had sassafras this good.
You've never had sassafras.
That is true.
What are we doing?
In 2001, I got voted the best sassafras in the county.
Okay. And we see Penny turn around and kind of walk past the bottles on the bar. I have no idea what's in these bottles. And she's just running her hand along the bottles, and she's just going to pick one up when she counts to five and take a little swig out of one.
Oh, careful. That one's Malort.
It tastes like the weird flavored pudding from the hospital from like a couple weeks ago, actually. That's
the shrimp pudding?
Yeah, it kind of grew on me, so now that I'm tasting it, it's kind of like the
That's the wormwood.
Hey, Zeke.
Yeah?
You want a beverage?
Could top off my sassafras for me, yeah.
Yeah, bring it over here, and then I'll do that.
Oh, I mean, I think the sassafras...
Bring it over here, and then I'll do that.
Okay.
Penny's glaring.
I don't want Malort, though. Please don't give me a Malort.
Zeke, this is not about a drink.
What?
Do you not feel, like, really weird about... And Penny gestures with her head to wherever Ron is at this time.
Yeah, we cut and we see Ron, who has just sat to replace the skeleton who got pulverized into dust in the arm wrestling contest. And we see Ron rolling up the sleeve on his leather jacket and kind of ceremoniously placing his elbow on the table.
All right, let's see what you got, buddy. I know what you don't got is muscles.
What about Ron? Oh. You mean because, like, do I feel weird about you freaking out and screaming at Ron earlier for no reason?
That's not how I was going to word it. I was going to say, do you feel weird about the fact that I completely forgot who our friend was, and not in a way that, like, oh, Penny's lost her mind again. Like, no, I've never felt that way about anyone before.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the question?
What do we do? I already didn't feel that safe here. I was looking forward to doing this kind of in a scary way, but like, should we go home and come back without Ron? Like, make up an excuse, like, I don't know, Zeke pooped his pants again, or like,
you want to leave Ron behind, but Ron hasn't done anything. But I mean, like, I get that you're, you know, worried about forgetting who he is, because like, that's concerning.
I'm not worried about forgetting who he is. I'm trying to hold on to the feeling that I felt when I looked at him and suddenly feared for my life, because one, I had no idea who he was, and two, I don't even think he looked human in the moment.
Well, I mean, first of all, who could look more human than Ron Fetus?
Penny looks over.
Yeah, we see Ron in the midst of seemingly badly losing an arm wrestling contest against a skeleton. Ron, of course, wearing all black, a black t-shirt, black leather jacket, black pants, a mysterious red amulet about his neck. Alabaster white skin, tall, pointy ears, upturned nose, sharp teeth, and red eyes.
Like, he's the most normal-looking guy I've ever seen in my entire life. You look up, like, guy in the dictionary, there's a picture of Ron.
I don't think that's true. But I believe you now, but... Zeke, something's off. Something's off. I don't know if it's this town. I don't think it's me. I mean, it is me, but not about this. And other things, maybe. But... I don't feel safe, and I don't know what our plan is, and I'm just starting to freak out a little bit.
Well...
Because Angela's not here.
The plan was... Yeah, but Ron's here.
Yeah, but I've never looked at Angela and then been like, whoa, what is that?
Oh, I do regularly.
No, that's our best friend!
Yeah, I mean, we can abort mission if you want to.
I don't want to abort mission. I don't want to feel like you don't have my back.
Of course I have your back. What do you mean?
When I came running to you, you looked at me like I was crazy, Zeke.
I don't know. How was I supposed to react? You were saying, we have known Ron for years, and you're standing there screaming about how you don't know who he is and you've never seen him before in your life. I don't know how I'm supposed to take that.
Okay, rematch. I got you this time.
Get him, Ron!
I'm just saying that sometimes I just need you to believe me, okay? And I know that Ron, I think, has been our best friend. And I'm looking at him now. We see Penny glance back over at Ron. And I see someone who's, I think, always been there for us.
Always. But, reliable Ron.
But there's just
this... Call him?
But there's just this feeling in my chest that I don't know if that's completely true.
Well...
But I want to be here, kind of.
I mean, again, if you're not feeling comfy, one, I don't want you to be uncomfy. Two, when you're uncomfy, your powers do stuff. So maybe abort is the best idea.
We see Penny look down the row of bottles and pick up one that was not either of the first two she drank, because we decided no on the shrimp water. And she grabs a... caramelly brown liquid takes a swig from it and then pours some into Zeke's glass.
Is this alcohol?
Dookie?
Yeah, that one's rye.
It's rye.
All right.
It's Meekter's.
I don't think I've ever drank anything with this low a sugar and caffeine content before. Bottoms up. Oh, it's like I snorted dry hay.
I don't know. I feel more awake.
Why do people do this?
I don't know. I feel awake or something.
Oh, I feel awake in the same way that I would feel awake if I was in a dead sleep and someone lit me on fire.
We see Penny put both hands on Zeke's shoulders and shake him real good. Okay, look at me. We got this. Same page. She puts a finger up to her head and that same finger up to Zeke's head. Same page.
Yeah.
I got your back. You got mine.
Okay. And we both got Ron's.
What I was going to say is...
Okay, best 4 out of 5.
Don't take your eyes off him for too long. And don't be alone with him. And don't leave me alone in an area with him. And if I'm just being paranoid, then what's the harm in that?
Okay. You got a deal.
Okay. We got to get out of here soon. We can't spend all night here.
Yeah. One sec, though. I need to go vomit.
We cut to the outside of Flo's house. It's dark. We see one light illuminating the inside of the house coming from the living room that used to belong to Flo, RIP. The camera zooms in through a window, directly into Dick's hand of cards. We see a 4 of diamonds. I don't know how many cards we have. I'm not doing that. That's like seven. That's like seven. No way.
In his hand are some of the cards you might recognize.
Yes, you may. Faces, shapes, colors, 2 of them.
Numbers.
Yep. Across from Dick is a solemn-looking, but focused, Kerrigan Orb, who has all 7 of her GoFish cards, but they're laying face up on the ground. And Dick is trying to explain to her which of her cards are pairs. It's not that she doesn't know. I don't think she cares.
Which is the death card?
Well, I mean, we can find a game that has that incorporated, I think. But for Go Fish, I don't think there's a death card. I mean, I think the one that looks at me the most funny is the Joker, but we don't play with him.
We see a sitting across from Dick, not actually sitting, but floating just above the ground, legs crossed, a semi-translucent figure wearing a black hood, which covers the top half of her face. Beneath this hood, we see her pursed, solemn, black lips as she contemplates the cards before her. This is, of course, the ancient ghost of the Omega Witch, Kerrigan Orb. She says, none of these cards contain fish.
Well, no, it's kind of just like a phrase you say. Like, you're not really going to go fish, but you get a pair, go fish. I don't know, you could say, like, anything, I guess. I don't know the origins of it. You could say, like, happy birthday. But we don't. That's not the name of the game. So we just say, go fish.
I forgot my birthday long ago.
Well,
it melted away with the eons, as so much of my former life did.
I remember it was a nice day in July.
The stars are my candles now.
You got a pair of 4s there, Kerrigan.
Go fish.
What? Would you like to play something else or just talk?
Would you like to hear about what we discussed in group this week?
Yeah. Yeah, I just been a little not worried about you. I mean, we've been through a lot, but I don't know. I'm feeling like a lot of my friendships and my connections in this world are feeling a little fuzzy to me, and I know that we're not the same people that we were in different ways, but...
Yes, you were recreated and killed countless times.
Yes, I remember, unfortunately. And
I drifted through space as a specter for thousands of years.
That's a better way to say it than what I was trying to think of. But
we have both had unique experiences.
Yeah. But I care about you, Kerrigan.
In group, Violet says that this may have induced something called trauma.
Trauma. Do you feel like that makes sense for you? Has it been helpful to
yes,
find
I feel traumatized.
Me too. Kind of sucks.
In our living time, trauma was rarely discussed.
Yeah. I think a lot wasn't really discussed.
We cut to a flashback of the Z-Fairs as Dick and Kerrigan watch helplessly, both tied to respective stakes, as a giant gorilla rips Heck's arms off at the socket.
Gorillocles destroy!
No! You put his arms back where you found them right now!
My arms!
No, those are my Hex arms! They're not my arms, they're my Hex arms!
We cut back. Do you wonder, Dick, about the others?
Every day. I mean, even just Load and, I mean, it's not the same even though he's here.
Well, that's what I mean. The beast from the stars, the anchorite. We had just gotten Professor Z and Yeti back when their spirits were consumed by the creature. But if those spirits all now reside in the body of the automaton, then Yeti Page and Professor Z must be in there as well, yes?
That's the theory. I'm actually supposed to go check on him in a bit, actually. I'll probably swing by tomorrow because Angela's out of town and Penny and Zeke are out of town. And honestly, I should just go over there and check on him anyway, even though I haven't really wanted to see him in that state. But that's the theory. I don't exactly know what to make of it yet. And can I ask you a question?
I believe you already have.
I'm gonna ask another one then, because the first one went pretty okay.
I'll prepare myself.
Have you ever talked to... We see Dick look around the house.
God?
No. Well, different story. But Meredith Indigo?
I have not. I have spoken to very few living people besides the ones who visit the home where my corporeal head resides.
I guess a better question would be...
My head is still rotting in the basement, in case anyone forgot. We cut briefly to Kerrigan Orb's mummified head sitting on a stand in the cellar.
We don't know what to do with it.
I like to think Dick just walks by and puts a flower in front of it every now and then. Not sure what else to do.
We cut back.
I guess a better way to word it is not just her, the family. Maybe not everyone in the family, but the legacy that it has today... You know, I've maintained somewhat of a close relationship with her, and I want to trust her with the plans that we have to save the world, you know, continuing the Z-Fair's legacy. But last time I talked to her, she was giving me mixed signals, and I just don't know what's right sometimes.
Well, Dick, as you said, we've known each other for quite a long time. Even though both of us have, in our own way, become something unknowable. And I do not know how our trauma has changed or shaped who we are now. Only you can know how your collective lives experienced on that ship have changed you, changed your character. Do you experience those lives in parallel or in sequence? Do you experience having been changed? Or do you feel on the interior like the same astronaut kid that you were for us thousands of years ago?
I haven't felt like that kid in quite some time, and I think that's why I try so hard to continue on our legacy. But when I'm asleep, it's like I'm every version of myself that's ever been, all at once, on different adventures, kind of coexisting in the same space. But then I wake up, and it's this one every time, the one you see right before you. But it doesn't feel the same inside like it did before. It looks pretty much the same, at least this version, the one we landed on, and I'm that's nice. But there's like some holes missing. It's like memories that wouldn't exist. But they do in my head, but not in my body.
This brings me to 2 points, Dick. The first, to answer your question more directly, and I always strive for directness.
I've always loved that about you.
The Dick that I knew with the Z-Fairers was a deeply moral person. At least it seemed to me. You had a strong sense of right and wrong. However, you also had a strong sense of loyalty and duty.
Which is good.
Yes, but those things can come into conflict. And I would counsel you, if you feel those things coming into conflict, to try and separate them if you can. And try and see the good clearly, unclouded by perhaps misplaced loyalty. My other point speaks to your experience of yourself and some of my concerns. If you can live all those lives and then have them be blended together inside one coherent person, I fear that what are now discrete souls inside of our friend now known as Load Gently could over time become blended as well, and our friends will be lost forever.
That crossed my mind too. And I don't want that, Kerrigan. I don't want to cause more harm to anybody. So, thank you. I think this was nice. Maybe nice is the wrong word, but I value you and your time, and I appreciate you sharing that with me today.
I've got nothing but time.
You got a pair again.
Fish me.
Our camera slowly begins to pull back from this soft, sentimental conversation between two very, 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 very old friends. And like a reverse Hitchcock, it starts to pull back through the window pane of Flo's cabin to the outside, into Flo's hydrangea bushes just outside the window. As the camera pulls back, and as the pane of the window itself comes into focus, we also transition from like a normal everyday camera view to bright blues and reds and greens and yellows. That's right, we're looking through thermal vision goggles. Our camera then swings around to reveal the wielder of said thermal vision goggles, one Hunter Von Price, a.k.a. Theodore Craig, son of Farm.
I am Theodore, son of Farm. I've come to reclaim the honor of my house.
The house of Craig. Crouched next to Hunter in those hydrangea bushes, vibrating with anticipation. One, Carlos Espinosa.
I've got you now, you bloodthirsty son of a bitch.
Do you want some bagel bites? I knew it was going to be a long night, so I made some. Here, let me get them out of my pocket. Here.
Thank you. Okay, Carlos.
Yeah?
You see that thing he's talking to?
Carlos pulls up his binoculars to his eyes.
We see Hunter's, like, high-tech thermal vision goggles with, like, little LEDs and, like, bleeping, and then we see Carlos's, like, Dora the Explorer brand plastic binoculars.
It's all you can find on a short notice.
Oh, yeah, that's Kerrigan Orm.
What do you notice about her? Anything unusual?
She's a ghost.
Exactly.
Everyone's a ghost. She's here.
Are you a ghost?
Carlos touches himself.
No, not now, not yet.
No, because ghosts are monsters.
They're not monsters.
They are monsters. Look at her. She's floating above the ground. I can see straight through her. That's not normal people stuff.
You're not in a normal town.
And one thing I know about monsters, they tend to cluster together. Plus, look at her robe, too. I think in addition to being a ghost, she's some kind of spell maker.
Don't you know about Dick?
I know what you've told me. Hero astronaut kid from a time gone by mysteriously shows up back in town, completely unravaged by the sands of time. And everybody thinks he's just the coolest guy around. I've seen it a million times before, Carlos.
You really think that he's a space cowboy and a vampire?
Unless you can name another someone who's come into this town very recently and convinced people almost supernaturally of how cool they are. But nobody like that comes to mind.
Nope, not at all. Wait, you just came into town.
That's a fair point. That's good to be suspicious.
How do I know you're
Keep
not a vampire?
Keep your wits about you.
How are you not a vampire? Prove it.
Hunter reaches into his coat and pulls out a whole clove of garlic and just bites it like an apple. And just the flakes from the peel are just like falling out of his mouth.
Carlos doesn't break eye contact with Theodore.
Okay, you passed the test.
Hunter lets out a really big garlicky belch.
Well, okay, what kind of things do you look for in a vampire? I mean, Dick walks around in the daylight.
Lots of vampires can walk around in the daylight.
How?
It's true that the sun hurts them, but they've been around for millennia and they found a number of ways to combat it. Magic rings, necklaces, special sunscreen. I don't know, sunglasses of some kind, maybe? Who knows?
Well, should we maybe wait till he falls asleep and go into his house?
If he's a vampire, that won't be till hours from now.
Well, if we can get in the house, maybe we can look for signs he's a vampire. Like a coffin, right? They sleep in coffins, right?
They've been known to.
What other things will we look out for?
We test him with garlic.
Oh,
step
yeah.
One, vampires hate the stuff. The smell of it, the sight of it. Honestly, I've got like 10 cloves of it in this cloak. If he even lets me into the house, that might be a sign enough.
Okay.
I just reek of the stuff.
And blood, right?
Yes, he'll be very tempted by blood. The sight of it would throw him into an almost uncontrollable fury of thirst and lust.
Okay, so we just have to sit here and watch him in the binoculars until he falls asleep.
Again, no, because that won't be until like 12 hours from now. I can stay up all night, but you were falling asleep in the car right here.
Well, I can just sleep at your feet.
No, I need you to watch my back, Carlos.
Oh, okay, yes, yes, I can do that. That's why I brought Mountain Dew, too. Oh, I should calm down. I brought Mountain Dew, too.
Have a bagel bite and drink some Mountain Dew. And then brace yourself. We're gonna go into the vampire den.
Dum, 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 dum.
We see Hunter and Carlos both raise their respective ocular devices to their eyes once again to peer through the window as a pale, translucent figure slowly rises from out of the ground behind them. We recognize him as the third resident of this cabin, the ghost of Wallace Patter Goodwin. He rises up silently in between Carlos and Hunter. Wally is, as always, in a long, flowing silk caftan, which you can see right through, both because he's a ghost and because that's the kind of clothes Wally likes to wear. In his hand is a coupe glass filled with some kind of alcohol? Question mark? It's hard to tell because the desaturated color palette of all ghosts makes it difficult to identify what's inside that glass. His head, placed perfectly between Hunter's and Carlos's, looks through the window, looks at Hunter, looks at Carlos, looks through the window again, and then Wallace says,
"Partaking in a bit of voyeurism this evening, are we?"
Oh my God! Ah! Carlos drops his Dora the Explorer binoculars on the floor. Hi! No!
Ghost! 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 Carlos, hand me the fireplace poker!
No, it's just Wally!
What?
Wally lives here! We weren't spying!
What was your plan with the fireplace poker? Be gone, foul spirit!
Suddenly, Dick opens the front door and just peeks a head outside and goes, I hear screaming.
Carlos tumbles out of the hydrangea bush with bagel bites in his hand.
Dick!
Carlos, are you okay?
I'm fine!
You dropped your snack!
No, I'm fine. He's picking up all his bagel bites. No, Theodore and I, we knew that Zeke was out of town and we made you bagel bites.
That's okay. 5-second rule. Not for me, but for you.
Hunter falls backwards out of the bush, just like wildly swinging a fireplace poker he got from somewhere.
Get back, ghost! Get back!
Whoa, what's going on here?
Ah!
No need for any of that.
Hi.
Put that down.
It's just, thinking about building a fire.
We came over here to build a fire with you and to give you some bagel bites.
We were gonna go camping, and then we saw a light on, and we thought, hey, who lives there? Oh, look, it's our friend Dick.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you're welcome to come inside.
Okay.
You smell like bacon bits and a lot of garlic.
Oh. Does garlic bother you?
I mean, makes my breath real stinky. And normally if I eat it late at night when I wake up, I'm like, ooh, I brushed my teeth twice today, but...
I'm pretty sure virtually anyone would be bothered by this amount of garlic. Do you wear garlic deodorant? What's happening?
Yeah, is this intentional?
That's weird.
Either way, come on in. It's not safe out there. Why were you going to go camping this late?
Friendship?
Friendship makes you do crazy things. Don't I know it?
Mm-hmm. Carlos runs into the kitchen and starts scrounging around for a cutting board or plate. I'm putting the bagel bites on a tray for us to eat.
Carlos, wait, you...
Theo, come in here and help me.
Okay.
We see Kerrigan drifting up behind Carlos, her black ghostly cloak flittering about as she hovers above the floor. And we see her black lips approach Carlos's ear from behind, and she says, we have a microwave now.
Oh, cool. I love microwaves. Tell me about your microwave. What color is it? What's your favorite thing to make in the microwave?
I tried to put my head inside it last week, but it wouldn't fit.
Oh my God.
Oh, Kerrigan. She just jokes. Well, she's not joking actually, but that's it.
Kerrigan, go sit down. We're gonna bring over some bagel bites. Just you go sit down. We'll be right over.
Hunter, meanwhile, is like leading Wally back into the cabin with the poker and like standing 5 feet behind him, just kind of going like, go on, keep your distance. Get in there. My, somebody's pushy.
This one has a dark aura.
Theo, I need your help in the kitchen.
With what? Is it more ghosts?
No, to serve the bagel bites.
Dick approaches Theodore and very gently lays a hand on the poker and starts to slowly pull it away. Now, if you're in my home, we don't need all of this. Kerrigan's my good friend. There's absolutely no need to bring a weapon into my home or to yield it. Yeah. So if you want to grab a seat on the couch, I can give you a slightly grassy bagel bite. Or you can go back to camping with your fire in the weird woods.
Theodore, I need you in the kitchen!
Okay, I'm coming!
These are my house rules.
All right, I apologize.
Take your shoes off. We're having a relaxing night, actually.
These boots don't come off.
Are you like a Bratz doll? What's going on under there?
I'm a dick.
One of the first things Zeke showed him.
Oh, yeah, I want to cut to Dick and Zeke watching a commercial for Bratz dolls.
Ooh, those are better clothes than Barbies.
Yeah. Do you want me to get you one? I can get you one.
You know, I saw on the internet, they had one that was just the head and a little bit of the torso. And it, when you put ice on it, the makeup on the face went from pink to purple. And the hair, you could make it straight or curly or a little bit of both.
Yep, it's magic. Toys are magic now.
Yeah, and my birthday, if I remember correctly, is in November.
So you're telling me you want me to get you the color-changing Bratz dolls?
I don't like to tell people what to get me, but if I had to pick something for a hint, it would be that.
Okay, I will. You're definitely not getting Bratz dolls for your birthday, wink, wink.
Yee, yee!
We cut back to the cellar, back to that close-up shot of Kerrigan Orb's mummified corporeal head, and we now pan just to the left where we see the head of the bodiless Bratz doll.
fuck were we talking about?
I need you in the kitchen!
I'm coming! And Theodore makes his way, sorry, Hunter makes his way to the kitchen while, like, awkwardly sidestepping both Wally and Kerrigan and, like, backing up against a wall when he has to go around them.
Theodore, we can put the garlic on the bagel bites!
That's a good call.
Okay, you bring over the bagel bites. I'm going to pour the rest of this Mountain Dew in some coupe glasses, okay?
All right.
All right, I'll meet you back over there.
Okay.
Carlos starts walking over with Mountain Dew and coupe glasses. I got Mountain Dew for everybody!
Kerrigan, do you...
Wait, Wally, do you... Does anyone drink Mountain Dew in this house?
I was buried with about 250 bottles of absinthe that I was able to take with me in the afterlife, and that's what's always in these cups.
I got a new water filter. It's in a pitcher. It filters it into the pitcher. Pour it into a cup.
That's not Mountain Dew.
But it tastes better than it did before I had it.
Kerrigan? Mountain Dew? Why are you looking at me like that?
You are lying.
I'm not lying. Lying about what? What would I ever be lying about? I'm just here with the bagel bites and the Mountain Dew and my friend Theodore, and I'm coming here to see all of you that I really care about.
Yes,
and it's...
Carlos, you said that you two were out here camping. However, I can't help but notice you didn't bring a tent or sleeping bags.
We were thinking about camping.
You did, however. You were thinking about camping at 1 a.m. in the morning in the middle of the woods, along with a pair of night vision goggles and... what appear to be binoculars, although they are bright pink and feature a small child with a monkey.
Listen, don't make fun of Dora the Explorer. What happened was that we spent a long day rollerblading today and we were so exhausted and then we fell asleep in the woods out here. So we've been sleeping all day basically and we just awoke here and we were like, hey, we should go camping. Let's go back and go get some stuff to go camping and we can come back into the woods. But then... we remembered that Dick lived over here and you lived over here, and so we were just coming by because we were like, oh, we shouldn't go back and go get our camping stuff and come back out here because it's going to take a really long time to get the tent back up. We're so tired. So basically, we were just coming by because we really just wanted to stay the night.
Cut to Hunter just like pinching the bridge of his nose.
Carlos. And we see Kerrigan floating towards Carlos, her cloak as though she's suspended in water, waving about her sides in the air. And she gets closer and closer until she fills your entire field of vision. And she says, Carlos, I'm an ancient and powerful witch.
Carlos gulps really loud.
I was the last born to humans to receive the power of the wild circle. That power still flows through my incorporeal form, enhanced and twisted by thousands of years adrift from God's light.
Carlos starts sweating and accidentally pours some Mountain Dew on the floor.
I can see your true nature, Carlos, as clearly as you can see me, and I could rend your flesh from your bones with a thought.
Please don't do that, please.
I hate to tell you both, but, Kerrigan is a lot of confusing things in the present day, but one thing she is not is a liar. So please state your intentions honestly.
We think you're a vampire! There's a vampire and we think it might be you.
Cut to Hunter, hard face palm.
Dick takes three large steps towards Carlos without blinking and says, one more time, partner?
Carlos looks at Theodore, and then looks back at Dick. Well, there's a vampire in town, and we're trying to figure out who it is, and we thought maybe it was you because you've lived a really long time. And I know that you came from space in the past and everything, but it's just, I don't know, it's just a theory we're testing. So we made you bagel bites with garlic in it to see if you were a vampire.
That's right! And Hunter grabs the plate of minced garlic and grass bagel bites in one hand and parkours over the kitchen counter with the other, landing in between Carlos and Dick. And then he thrusts the plate into Dick's face, just holding it up, going, and you hate it, don't you? It's horrible, isn't it?
Let me remind you one more time that you're in my house, and that if I want you out of here, I could get you out of here.
Ha! I'm not the vampire here.
I don't care if you're a vampire. I'm just helping Theodore.
Thank you. What? Carlos, why don't you think about things before you do them? We've talked about this.
Believe me, we've put plenty of thought into this.
I just want friends.
I've been tracking a vampire up the West Coast for the last several months. There's somebody in this town. Upton St. Queef disappeared from the party. And shortly before I show up to town, you show up with this incredible story of being a hero space cowboy, lost to time. So when you show back up and haven't aged a day, nobody asks any questions. Well, guess what?
So you're...
I'm here now. And I'm asking the questions. And right. My question is, are you a vampire?
So let me get this straight. So when you could have easily just Googled my name and seen the wreckage from the ship when it crashed here in Chillhaven, you decided that since you, a high school student named Theodore...
Oh, that's not his name.
Oh, it's not.
No. We cut to Wally's vision, and he's just got, like, there's just, like, text above everyone's heads like a video game showing everyone's real names to Wally.
Well, his name is Hunter.
You told me it wasn't Hunter!
I'm pretty sure I said it was a nickname.
You lied to me!
I don't know that I would use that term. Stretched and hid the truth may be more appropriate.
We see Dick walk to his front door, lock it, turn around, and say, "Have a seat."
Yeah, have a seat, Hunter.
Okay. Whoa, wait a minute. I feel like the tables have really turned in this discussion.
Give me my bagel bites back. Carlos reaches over and grabs them out of Hunter's hand.
Carlos, what are you doing?
These are bagel bites for friends. I was just helping you with this. I knew Dick wasn't a vampire, but I really wanted to help you because I thought we were getting to be really good friends.
Carlos.
What?
We are really good friends. I meant everything I said in those hydrangea bushes. When we talked about how we both felt so alone. We felt like no one understood us. I really felt connected to someone for the first time in, well, first time in a number of years.
Really?
But now... to see you turn it around on me so fast. I just don't know if you're the monster hunting partner I thought you were.
Take it back!
Okay, let's clear this up once and for all. We see Dick cross the room to Carlos, still not breaking eye contact with Carlos.
Do we want me to sit down or can I stand up?
You've done enough, Carlos. You stay right where you are and give me one of those gosh darn bagel bites.
Here you go!
Carlos throws one over to Dick.
Dick catches it effortlessly. Flicks off a couple pieces of grass, pops it in his mouth, whole, takes two good bites, swallows, looks over at Theodore, question mark. So, Carlos, you're telling me that someone who just came into town convinced you that I was the best suspect for a vampire. So you came to my house instead of just asking me when you've known me longer, not that much longer, mind you, but longer, and you know my real name, but you trusted this guy?
Listen, when you say it out loud, I know
and you tried to poison me with bagel bites?
Well, not poison. I mean, poison, I guess, if you were a vampire, but if you weren't...
And used my microwave against me? I'm hurt.
Listen, I was just doing it... You know how Zeke is just so busy all the time?
You know, sometimes, Carlos, if you can't think of what to say, it's best to just not.
No, I have a lot to say.
Look, stop putting this on poor Carlos.
It's not. It's on you, too.
He's a gullible little baby.
You're lucky that I don't kick you out of my house right now.
A gullible baby? Is that what everyone thinks about me?
You can't kick me out of your house. This isn't your house. You're a vampire. Vampires can't own houses.
Dick walks over to, Theodore and grabs a fistful of his shirt right by the throat and lifts him up off the couch.
Dick, don't hurt him!
Ah! Paranormal vampire strength!
Stop saying that!
Vampire!
Dick backs him up to the wall and puts his forearm like up to his chest to like hold him against the wall. What is your real name? We'll start there.
It's Hunter!
That was easy. Okay, Hunter. Why do you think I'm a vampire after eating that garlic and grass-filled bagel bite?
That's just one of the tests. Vampires can build up a tolerance.
I've told you once and I'll tell you two times. You are in my house. I will not be tested in my house.
I'm not a vampire. I have been in space, and I have been here. I've never bitten anybody, and I did not kill. What was his name? Uptown.
Upton St. Queet. You know it very well.
Why?
Or at least you oughta, since his blood's pumping around in your gut.
Dick, I don't think you're a vampire. We looked at some footage of the night that Upton St. Queef went missing, and you weren't in the footage. Ron was, which was really weird, but you weren't in it.
But it can't be Ron. He's too cool.
Why can't it be Ron?
Because out of everyone I've talked to, it sounds like Ron's been here for years. And this vampire got here recently.
Or it just started attacking now. Or it just turned into a vampire. Or, I don't know, aren't you an expert?
Yes.
Or are you? Or are you a vampire? And you're just trying to throw us off.
He's not a vampire. I already asked him earlier. He ate a garlic clove.
Carlos, with all due respect, you've done enough. I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Eat your bagel bites.
Fair.
He starts eating the bagel bites.
Wally just like pats Carlos on the shoulder.
If you get bored again, there's some cards on the floor. Go fish. Now, do we want to sit down and have an appropriate discussion about what plan we can make? Or do you want to leave my house immediately?
I'll sit down. Once you count these grains of rice!
All right, Carlos, close your eyes.
Okay!
Dick is gonna once again grab Hunter by his, this time by the back of his shirt, like right up by the nape of his neck, and just start half carrying, dragging him to the front door with the purposes of unlocking it and tossing him right out.
Hey, wait, you're arithmomania! What are you doing? You have to count the rice!
Get out of my house! We see Dick take a boot a little, half gently, half aggressively, to Hunter's ass and kicks him right out the front door and slams it behind him.
Go!
Locks it again.
Carlos
takes his hands off of his eyes. Where's Hunter?
Carlos, they're gonna take your blood!
Carlos, this is ridiculous.
I know, you're not a vampire.
No!
I just get so caught up in it.
Carlos, sometimes when people say things, if it makes you confused or panic or get scared or flustered, sometimes it's good to sit with it for a moment and think, what should I do in this moment?
Yes.
And when you saw me eat the bagel bite, not that I felt like I even needed to do that to prove myself, but when, with your own eyes, you saw me eat that and you still kept screaming, you didn't think once, maybe that guy's crazy, points to the door.
But he's so cute. I mean, how come? I mean, if you're not the vampire, who could it be?
Literally anybody else. Anybody else. Love makes us do crazy things, Carlos. But you've got to pull yourself together. We got a vampire on the loose.
Well, can Hunter come back in and we can make a plan?
No. Get your go fish cards or get out too.
For the last bit of this conversation, the pounding on the door has subsided for a few seconds. But now it returns, growing louder with each pound, until Hunter finally busts through the lock on Flo's cabin door, re-enters the cabin, holding in his hand a flashlight.
All right, you. Try to shut me out all you want, but I'm not gonna let you take my new best friend's blood.
Dick squares up his stance and his shoulders.
You might be able to make yourself immune to garlic. You might be able to have overcome your arithmomania. But one thing no vampire has ever been able to withstand is the burning ultraviolet light of this blacklight flashlight. Yeah!
Hunter, I don't think Dick's a vampire.
I don't either, Hunter.
Yeah. Damn, normally they're like up in flames by now.
Hunter, you realize in this moment that your feet are no longer touching the floor.
Oh, no.
Then you realize that you can see the inside of your own face. And we cut back to see Kerrigan Orb with one arm extended towards you. And we see floating before her the skin, circulatory system, nervous system, and bones of Hunter Von Price, all hovering, separated from one another, a few inches apart.
Dick, don't let her do this. He doesn't know what he's. Just please.
Dick takes a few steps closer to Hunter's body levitating and says, "You know, a good friend of mine told me once that when in doubt, you should rely on your morals. I'm starting to think you don't have that many morals. Hunter. And not only that, but you don't even seem to be very good at the one job you have. And I've told you twice to get out of my house. I've physically removed you. You've accused me of being a monster when I'm looking around here. We see Dick looking around the room. And I only see one. What do you think, Carlos?
I don't think you're a vampire, and I think we all should just sit and make a plan and figure this out together.
All of us?
All of us. Can we just calm down?
I don't know.
Should I put him back together correctly?
Please?
Or inside out?
No, the regular way. Dick?
Regular way, Kerrigan.
Thank you.
With a squelching snap, Hunter's body reunifies in the correct order, and he drops to the ground.
Please, my bones! I want my bones back!
Carlos runs over and gives Hunter a huge squeeze. Oh my god, I thought you were gonna be... I don't even know what you were gonna be. You're just blood bits.
Okay. I'm okay.
Dick may not be a vampire, but I am a witch.
Yep, put that together.
Best not to forget that, child.
Okay. And Hunter, like, backs up to the wall and inches to the kitchen and grabs a box of salt out of the cupboard and just makes a teeny little salt circle around himself.
Okay.
Okay, Hunter?
Yeah?
Are you okay? Or are you calmed down?
Hold on.
Will you stop attacking everyone in the house?
Yes.
Dick?
Just give me a minute.
It's my house.
I know.
I might throw up my whole spleen.
You came into my house.
I wasn't gonna ask if you were calm. I was just gonna ask if you're feeling okay, and can we all just be nice?
Dick, I'm sorry.
For?
Oh, for accusing you of being a vampire.
I'm sorry.
For accusing you of being a vampire.
You know, I think what's fair is for you to say that as many times as you said that I was one.
We're gonna be here a while.
We've been here a while already.
Just the amount of times I said it in your presence, or like the amount of times I've said it over
whatever
the last
you prefer.
Few Dick Spangler, the astronaut kid, I am sorry for doubting you and accusing you of being a vampire. In regards to what you said earlier about morality, you are wrong. I have a deep, deep sense of morality instilled in me by two very important men in my life. I consider it my duty and my job. My purpose on this plane of existence to protect innocent little babies like this one from the horrible, flesh-rending beasts of darkness that prowl all over this horrible land. And sometimes that strong sense of duty and purpose clouds my judgment, gets in the way of seeing the obvious. In this case, caused me to run afoul of you, and I apologize.
Dick very slowly reaches out an open hand to shake.
Hunter looks at the hand and then looks at you and equally slowly reaches out to shake it back.
With a very, very firm grip, Dick shakes his hand quite slowly, still a little threatening, but he's doing it on purpose because it's a little amusing to him now.
I think Hunter's doing it back. I think we're in like a Carl Weathers
Predator handshake.
Yeah, Carl Weathers, Arnold Schwarzenegger Predator handshake. We're both just gripping harder and harder.
We cut to a close-up of both of their biceps swelling underneath their clothes. Beth just ripped notebook in half.
Carlos runs over and hooks an arm around Hunter and hooks another one around Dick and says, "Yes, friends!"
All right. In the spirit of apologizing and gaining back some of the trust I may have lost by kicking in your door and
you did.
Throwing rice at you.
Yep.
Allow me to tell you, all of you, who I really am. My name is Hunter Von Price, and I am the Stalker.
So you, like, stalk people?
No, I'm...
You stalked me?
The. It's like a title, capital S.
Sounds like a wrestling name.
Sounds like a corn name.
Yeah, it does sound like a corny name.
Okay, so what do you do? What does the stalker do?
There's a secret society of people throughout the millennia who have dedicated themselves to stopping the forces of darkness, the monsters of our world. Every generation, the best of the best among them is chosen.
And you're one of them?
I am.
And you thought Dick was a vampire?
I am he. Listen, Dick, I apologize yet again for accusing you of vampirism. However, if it's not you, we have another problem on our hands. The trail may have led me astray, but make no mistake, there is a vampire somewhere here in Chillhaven. And until we find out who it is, everyone in this town is in grave, grave danger.
And we crossfade from Hunter saying that to the blank, smiling face of one Ron Fetus. Standing beside Penny White and Zeke Lynn on the front steps of the imposing Nethermare Manor. Nethermare Manor, the giant, spooky mansion that sits atop the cliff, overlooking the ominous Lake Obelisk at the edge of Ordinary Falls. Its black, gabled facade hanging over our three friends like something spooky would.
Ooh, bad vibes.
Okay, here we are.
Yeah.
Anyone else vibrating?
No.
I'm feeling a little vibratey.
My arm still kind of hurts. That skeleton was so powerful. So what's up? Can we get the move on here? I really am famished, you guys. I got to get a bite soon.
Yeah, sure. We'll eat, Ron. I think stay together, right?
Absolutely. We're not Scooby-Dooing this shit.
Okay.
No Scooby-Doo stuff here.
No, none. And if anything goes wrong, we get out.
We get out right away.
Yeah. I'm sticking close behind you, Penny, because you've got powers and stuff.
Yeah.
Zeke and I are just regular guys, can't do anything supernatural to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
I brought my sound cannon, but that's not supernatural. It's just like...
Super scientific.
Can you just come up with that? That was good.
I just came up with it. You mean try to say it like four times in a row? I thought it was going to be cool when I started, but then I stumbled all over it. You guys are better at this hero stuff than I am.
I didn't notice any of the stumbles, and to me, you're the coolest human who's ever lived, Ron.
Oh, shucks. I am alive. I'm an alive human.
Can we go in now?
Yes. Sorry, I'm stalling because I'm anxious. Zeke reaches out a hand to Penny.
Penny takes it.
Zeke reaches out a hand to Ron.
Ron takes it.
We're in this together.
Okay, I guess Penny, one of us has to knock now because Zeke's hands is both full.
Nope, I got it. And Zeke takes both of his hands, still holding Penny and Ron's hands, and knocks on the door of Nethermare Manor.
After several loud, sturdy, four-handed knocks, the giant, ancient, weathered oaken door of Nethermare Manor creaks open before you all. And you are greeted with nothing. Oop, wait, what's that? Lower your gaze slightly. You are greeted with a roughly 3-foot-tall skeleton, its face decorated with smiling paint and a red nose, its body decorated with what people decorate their bodies with, aka clothes. These clothes, a little butler outfit.
Little butler.
This clown stands motionless. This clown skeleton stands motionless for a split moment before turning to the side and gesturing you all in with a hand.
Oh, look, I guess he's inviting us in. Cool.
Yeah, more hospitable than last time.
Yeah.
I took the gesture to be an implicit invitation inside, yes? We all read it the same way?
Yep. Okay. No, he was clearly inviting us in.
Okay, cool. Now to take a step
inside.
Should we do it on three?
Well, yeah, we're all still holding hands and standing in parallel. So let's count to three and then each take a step in at the same time.
Into the unknown. One.
Two.
Three.
Penny White and Dick Spangler are played by Ness Lawson. Angela Atticus Jr. and Carlos Espinosa are played by Megan Stressman. Zeke Lynn and Hunter Von Price are played by James Kedlar. James is also the composer for all of Chillhaven's original music. Ron Phoebus, as well as every other colorful character in Chillhaven, are played by our game master and producer, Philip James Stressman. Additional sound effects provided by Zapsplat.com. Monster Hearts tabletop game, created by Avery Alder. Good night, everyone.